Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Amen. You remain standing if you would. We're going to read the Word of God this morning. Give the Lord another big hand for all the great things He's done today. My. We're going to finish the teaching we started last week on the endless love of Jesus, and we're going to read verses 12 through 30. Might be redundant for a few pieces, but that's okay, because the things we want to emphasize, I believe God will share with us today. Verse 12 says, "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again and said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" "And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet."
"For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you."
"Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." He says, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture has may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives me, whomever I send, receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." And the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was whom he spoke. And Jesus answered, "It is he whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Verse 30 together. "Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's a lot of things we need to talk about today. But the most important thing that we need to talk about today is how we can love you with all of our hearts, how we can love one another, and how we can really celebrate what the whole advent of the cross and redemption and resurrection is all about. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, because we love you and we thank you for this glorious day. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. And we'll say one last thing as far as announcements are concerned. When you leave today, do not leave this behind. This is a book that we made up for Holy Week. And a lot of churches, that's like all the denominational churches, Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, this type of thing, they honor Holy Week, and so do we. Not because we're denominational necessarily, but because we have an opportunity to really focus in for this entire week about Jesus. You can take more than one of these if you need to share it with a friend, because we want to make sure of us we can walk through this day by day. There's assignment that we do today on Sunday. Can you believe that? So we got something to read on Sunday other than I went to church. Isn't that enough? No. So please be sure to take that with you, and we'll respond accordingly as far as that's concerned. I want to get into the message, but here's my introduction. It says this: I'm confident that most of us have witnessed at one time or another disrespectful, unreasonable, deplorable conduct of a patron towards someone who was in the service industry. I mean, one of those type of people that you just can't do the right thing. I mean, sometimes I just kind of shrunk and said, oh my goodness, they're just treating that waitress so poorly, and they're demanding all this other type of service. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's such despicable behavior not only makes you uneasy, but triggers something within you that makes you want to rise up in defense of a servant who is being victimized by such arrogant preponderance. I mean, you just can't sit there saying, you just feel bad. You want to just go over and slap them. In Jesus' name. Give them that Holy Ghost backhand. But, you know, well, just let me get right into the heart of it. Says, well, number one, have you ever set a barrier to justify your unwillingness to follow the example of Jesus' servanthood? In other words, you have the standard that says, yeah, I know Jesus did it, but, you know, that's just not me. That's not my personality. You know, that's for other people. We use shy, being shy for the issue, but that's not it at all. Or how about this? Do you carry unresolved issues with someone who has betrayed you? This is going to be a rough service. Oh, Jesus. He said, I could have got out of here sooner than this, and here I am. Well, you're stuck now. How about this one? Do you understand what it means to lay down your life for Jesus' sake? The whole subject of, you know, that we talked about, you know, foot washing, this type of thing, I'll give you a couple of things now because there's some other things we'll demonstrate in a little while. But some people say, oh, I couldn't get a foot washing type thing, you know. Oh, you know, this, there are germs and this type of thing going on. You know something? Let me tell you guys, do you know you have more germs on your belt than you'll find washing somebody's feet? Now, ladies, don't look so proud. You lock yourself in that restroom, and on the handle, when you're trying to get out, there's more germs than you will ever need. So I throw the germ thing off the table, okay? That won't work. What I'm saying is that there's barriers that we put up that are psychological, whatever, that kind of preclude or exclude us from doing what God asks us to do. But let's get into this. We need to be cleansed by the Spirit of God daily. We did some of these scriptures, but this scripture we're going to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Let's jump right into that. Not that I speak of in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. And everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what that scripture is about? It's about not having to have the best and not being so bad when the worst happens. I'm going to just reflect for a moment. I remember the first time I went to the Dominican Republic. It's been 20 years ago when I went over there. And we stayed in a barrio. Some of you don't know what a barrio is. It's a low-class ghetto. You say, well, low-class. I mean, that's where, if you find the facilities, good luck. And, you know, it's hot and this type of thing. And we stayed, myself and my friend that went over there, we stayed in a house with the missionary and his wife and his two children. And we stayed in this house, and the total square footage of the house was 15 by 20. That's the living room, dining room, bedrooms, everything else. What divided their bedroom from ours was a sheet hanging. Feeling pretty good right now? Oh, it gets worse. There's more. And so the facility, if there was a path. Anybody know about outhouses? Wasn't even close. Hole in the ground. Do you know what you have for shelter? Trees. It's like when I went over to Tanzania. We're having this meeting over there. This is just about a year ago. And we're having this meeting, and it's this church, and the church, there's a dirt floor, and there's no facilities as far as this concerned. Oh, we're going to have dinner at someone's house. Okay, so it's time I'm thinking, oh, I'm really cool, because I got my little hand wash in there. I'm going to wash my hands, this type of thing. And then I realized we're going out to this person's house, and I'm looking around, and I said, well, I hate to be picky. What's the facility? He says, that tree over there. the tree. Now, the tree doesn't offer you any security other than the fact that it's over there. Ain't no curtain. Ain't nothing to sit on. And you know where we go from there. Ain't nothing to fix yourself up after everything's done. So don't tell me about what you can't do. Whew. Oh, I got that. I mean, now we can go on. Okay. We need Jesus to cleanse us from things that we thought we had under control. We did a little bit of this last week, but I got to go to Psalms 51, verses 1 and 2, 7 and 10 through 13. We'll go through these real quickly. Have mercy on me, O God, for your loving kindness. According to your multitude of tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Is that what you want God to do for you? I want to tell you there's a cost for that. So he goes on, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now go on to verse 10 through 13. This is where it gets, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do you know that's the reason why we come to church every week? It's for God to recreate us, because you know something? The world puts something in you that is really not good. It's almost like you have to be washed and cleansed all over again and get yourself back on track. And so he goes on to this place. He says, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. But here's the part you're going to leave here with today. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Do you know what? God has made you and your life a teaching tool for other people. The question is, do you want to let God use you to be a teaching point for people who really need to hear the message, but they need to see it in the form of flesh? Well, Peter was about to discover what David already knew thoroughly through. Our denial of need for divine intervention for cleansing is ludicrous, but we need a total cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, Jesus made it clear to Peter that unless he was willing to experience the cleansing of what he thought was unnecessary, he would have no part of him. Earlier on in the verse, we read it last week. Jesus says, Peter says, oh, you'll never wash my feet. No, not going to happen. And Jesus' response to this, it was almost stunning to folks. But it goes this way. The act of foot washing allows us to discover how much we desire to be in control of what we think our body needs to be submitted to. It's a control issue. It really is. What do I mean by that? Well, we'll see. When we refuse to admit how truly broken we are in need of Jesus dealing with our pride, we will not truly have a relationship with him. The number one thing for all of us, myself included, is breaking down of your pride. Pride will kill you. And pride will make you stupid. Stupider. So it goes on. We need God's prevailing grace to cover our lives. Jesus made it clear that he's only after the part of us that we believe his love and grace cannot cover. John chapter 13, verse 10. You get a lot of the word of God today. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Well, he's bathed, needs only to wash his feet. I kind of scratch it. What's that all about? It's not about the water. It's about the humility. God is after something in all of us that we won't be able to negotiate out of. So Peter was extreme in his response, trying to appear compliant while maintaining his prideful control. And he was appealing, Jesus is appealing to his heart. And he says, Jesus wants us to admit how much we need everything he freely offers us without asking for us to perform or prove anything. Jesus says, Peter, I need to wash your feet. Oh, no, Oh, yeah. And you know what that does for us? When you realize someone as great as Jesus, who has all power and under his control, is willing, just like Jesus came from glory, to live down here as a servant down here, it's just a demonstration of the character of Jesus that he wants to install into us. Wow. Becoming a servant is God's greatest priority. Now, throughout his ministry, obviously Jesus modeled this, and sometimes it's more humbling to have your feet washed than to have others to wash others' feet. You say, what does that mean? Oh, I'll wash yours. I'm good. No, you're not. Oh, I'm good. No, well, you see, you know, I had a pedicure last week, and I don't want to get ruined, you know, this type of thing. So could we just pass on that? But praise God. Thank you for the offer. It ain't working. Well, true devotion to Christ is demonstrated when we render and accept service from that which is mutual among the saints. A couple more things about this, and I want to move on to this whole thing that's probably got you in a place of what it means to deny Jesus. Foot washing one another's feet is not a ritual. You say, oh, I know what they're going to do at New Song now. Every Good Friday, they're going to have a foot washing service. Who said that? Is that your fear? What's wrong with having it every week? They wouldn't do that, would they? If Jesus said to do it, we would, but it's not a ritual. It's a demonstration of Jesus' love in a practical way that cannot be faked, which means this. It's an opportunity to confront the Judas factor in our midst and be okay with God dealing with it however he chooses. Now watch this. Judas, no doubt, treated foot washing as a stupid gesture. He says, go ahead, wash my feet, Jesus. It's not going to change my mind. I've already sold you down the river. I got the money, you know, hidden away. And as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm going to take you out. Whoa. But the only way he could do that is he had to dismiss the fact of Jesus' love ministering to him. He had to put it in the stupid category, saying, oh, really? Wash my feet? Go ahead, wash my feet. But he said, but dude, I got you pegged. I got my money, and I'm going to go get it. Wow. Oh, it gets more compacted. Mother Teresa was in Phoenix, Arizona. This is years before she passed away. They did these great interviews, and they had her say a few things. And there were people there that were literally millionaires she could have asked them to donate to some of her causes in India and this type of thing. Well, one person caught her and took her aside and said, Mother Teresa, is the one thing that we can do for you? And she looked him in the eyes. And this is the word she says. She says, find somebody that nobody else loves and love them. Because we pick and choose the people we're going to love. But find somebody that nobody else, that everybody's marginalized, and put them off the side. And Jesus says, if you really want to know what I'm all about, find somebody who you know hates you, that's about to sell you out, and wash their feet. Oh, Jesus. I know it's starting to marinate right now. But I can't turn back now, so we're vested. Now, Jesus did not mince words regarding the demonstration of love he bestowed on his disciples. In other words, it was nothing to do with religion or shaming people into doing what was uncomfortable. It had nothing to do with that. Having been a believer since I was 9, which is 60 years, gives me no seniority. Because I have to approach this every day of my life in humility of what God may require of me. There's something to be said about those who look for opportunities to serve people in ways to show concern and kindness. But then there's still, it doesn't give you any extra points, I would say, that you're entitled to. There is no reservation in Jesus' words when he declares his intent and purpose. Now, we need to become servants in the manner that Jesus demonstrated. I'm going to run through these things real quickly because I need to finish something today. So I'm just going to give you these real quick points. Number one, he served them out of love. Simple. It was unannounced. Ever been ambushed by someone that says, oh, by the way, you know, you're ready to go someplace or you're out to dinner with someone. And you're ready to say, oh, where's my check? Well, someone already took care of that. What? And you had the steak and the entree, right? You know, something else, and dessert. And somebody picked up the, and you said, oh, if I had known you were going to do this, I never would have had it. That's the reason why I didn't tell you. You hear what I'm saying? Because we try to shrink back. Oh, I don't really need that. Yes, you want it, but you're afraid to say it. So I'm going to let you have your steak, lobster, whatever you're going to have, and I'll pick up the bill, and I dare you to say anything. Because I want you to have what you really want. Jesus is the one. He gives us more than we'll ever need, and he doesn't complain about what the check looks like. When you want to bless people, you're not worried about what it's going to cost you. You are totally invested in giving the best that you've got. That's what Jesus does. Until we get to that place where we're willing to give God his best, we haven't given up anything. Wow. Playing in the safety zone. God bless you. Okay. Number three, it was done with grace and dignity. Number four, I'm just running through these quickly. It was empowered with grace. Number five, it was at a time when he was facing personal crisis. Some of us are stuck in the rut of the poverty of what we're experiencing now, and so we have shut off the flow of God out of our life until we get ourselves fixed. Let me help you with that. Because 12 hours after this event, they are nailing Jesus to the cross, and he knows it's going to happen. And you're worried about your little problems? You don't have anything. And he's given the best he's got? Are you kidding me? And so, we have ourselves kind of locked up into our own personal crisis. Say, well, as soon as I get the job I want, as soon as everything calms down, I'll just do what God wants me to do. The devil will make sure that never happens. Do you want to get in the devil's face in spite of what's going on, do what God told you to do and watch him flee? Because he'll realize he doesn't own you, that he doesn't own you through crisis and through affliction, but because the Spirit of Christ owns you no matter what. I dare you to rise up against the adversity that's come against you and allow the Holy Spirit to use you beyond what you think you're able. I mentioned about Judas' response saying, this is a stupid situation. Well, you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. It was a challenge to all who believed in him, and it promises a blessing to those who will do it. Let me move on quickly to the fact of betraying Jesus is not always easy to detect. John chapter 13, verse 22. And the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. He says, one of you is going to deny me. I said, Lord, is it him? You know, Matthew has been looking a little funny lately. I don't know, it could be him. I don't know, Matthias. We must truly know the one in whom we have believed. 2 Timothy 1:12. This should be an anchor scripture, and I would challenge you to memorize this. For this reason, I suffer these things. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm going to stop right there. I want to break shame off you folks of the things that you're going through right now. It says, well, I should have a better job right now. I should be able to do this bigger thing. And the devil is holding his foot on your neck, telling you, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do better, you know, have a better house, better car, better this, better that, have a better relationship, should be able to get married, on and on and on. Mm-mm. No. 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 I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. You need to know. I mean, know him. And here's the other part. And am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Here's the question. What did you commit to him? We're talking about commitments. You say, well, Jesus, I'm going to serve you as long as the sun is shining. Rainy days, I don't know. I'll do my best. Well, Jesus. Knowing Jesus and believing in Jesus are not the same thing.
Amen. Say it again. Say it again.
To believe, listen to this, is to commit. If you believe in something, you commit. Charles Blondin was a tightrope walker. He walked across Niagara Falls, and he did this several different times. One time he says, I'm going to walk across Niagara Falls, but this time I'm going to roll a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. And Mr. Blondin, he's waving to the crowd, Mr. Blondin, do you believe I can do it? Yes, get in the wheelbarrow. See, y'all believe in Jesus, but you won't get in a wheelbarrow. Woo! Come on! Get in the barrel. To believe is to commit. If we truly believe, we will reject anything that goes against our convictions. Some of your convictions have changed. Oh, you're not going to like this. Well, you know, after I really thought about, you know, some of the culture changes, and nowadays I know it's probably not the best for young people to live together before they get married, but you know, times have changed. And if they really love each other, and if they've made a commitment, if they're engaged, well, let's give them a little slack. Some of these people have been engaged for 7 years and had 3 babies. But we're engaged. We're dedicated. Would you stop changing the script? I'm going to leave it alone for now. I'll circle back and get that another day. I don't have time to mess with that because some of you need to be healed from that. Disciples were second-guessing themselves as well as one another. They said, there's no perfect profile that you can be attached to a disbeliever. Not an unbeliever, but a disbeliever. What's the difference between the two? I said, well, unbelievers, well, first they never believe, but a disbeliever, all of a sudden, you dissing your belief. Because this ain't working for me. Work with me, folks. Yes! And you're going to use it. You can use it. I'll let you license you to use it. John, who was the closest to Jesus, didn't even know who it was. I want to tell you, there's some things you can be even be walking close to Jesus, but there's some things that are veiled from you really finding out of people that really aren't serious about following Jesus. People that we least expect will walk away from the Lord. I can't believe this. He walked away from Jesus. Well, let me help you with that. The bread that Jesus gave to Judas symbolized the free will that God will give us to do what is truly in our hearts. So who is it? He says, drum roll, please. And the winner is Judas. They still didn't get it. And so he gives it to him. He says, what do? You do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason that he said this. This is what they thought. They said, because Jesus had the money, he said to him, buy those things that we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. They are clueless. Dumb and dumber. Let me hasten on to get to a real strong resting place. Well, when we choose to follow Jesus, it will be a decision that we will make regardless of the kindness and love that he's shown to us. We have an opportunity to turn away from our backsliding if we choose to see the gift of grace that's handed to us to make a right decision. I'm going to say this without any reservation. There are people sitting in this room today that have backslidden away from Christ. What? That's accusatory. It's the truth. You're not following Jesus like you did originally. You're marginally kind of looking from a distance, and I'll show you how that works in just a moment. Well, the betrayal of Jesus is no worse than self-deception. John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. That is a profound statement. You know what Jesus is saying? You need some work before you can really follow me. All of us do, but I believe the Holy Spirit is present today to do some work that's necessary to make us fully committed to Jesus. Peter thought that he was ready to lay down his life for Jesus. He said, Lord, I'll do this. And the fact is that he asked Jesus where he was going was proof enough that he was not paying attention to what Jesus had been saying. Jesus confronted the pride in Peter to find what was truly in his heart. I'm just about there. Our betrayal of Jesus starts with separation and distance. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through 62. I'll read those real quickly. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Strike two. And a certain girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him, but he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. Strike three. One, two, three strikes, you're out. You're done. Let me help you with this. First mistake you'll make is following at a distance. You used to be close to the Lord. You used to have an upfront relationship with him, but now it's not really, I don't really need to pray every day. Every other day will work. Little dabble, do you? I don't need to read the Bible every day. I'll read it once a week. We'll read it in church on Sunday because Pastor puts it up on the screen. Then you skip a few Sundays. Oh, I don't really need to go to church this week because, you know, I had a rough week. I need to stay home and just kind of get my rest. There you go. Yeah, from a distance, God is watching. Oh, never mind. Anyway. Now they kindled a fire in the midst of God, and he sat down together. Peter sat among them. Second thing, you want to get away from Jesus? Just start, change your homies. Well, you know, I want to feel comfortable with everyone. I just want to be in their midst. I don't want any of you. I just want to be among all types of people. I'm just very collective in my experience, and I just want to embrace all of God's children. You're a chameleon. Don't have time to develop all that. Another time I will. But here's the part. And a certain girl seeing him sat by him looking at him and says, you know, this man was also with him. Didn't I see you going to the New Song Church the other day? I was going by on Russell Street. And I don't know what you're talking about, girl. I wasn't over there. I was going to the barbecue shop. Got a little mixed up and I just hit the wrong way. I was going to have barbecue. You're a lying demon. I mean, I'll tell you. But we do stupid stuff like that. Wow. Well, Peter watched everything as it unfolded right before his eyes. Lord had told him, you know, what was going to happen. Our feeling and emotions will deceive us into thinking that we are devoted to Christ when we really are not. There are things that we must go through before we can fully give over to the Lord. And the Lord prophesied to Peter. He says, Lord, I want to go with you. He says, you ain't ready to go with me now. You got to go through some stuff. And when you get through some stuff, after you're converted, you can strengthen the brethren. God wants to deal with your stuff today that's holding you back. Living for Christ means that we're willing to say and to do things that will go against what is commonly embraced. That means when a person says they are with Christ, we must be willing to embrace all that it means. Simply means, Paul said it this way. Paul said it correctly when he says that we are in Christ, we perceive things much differently than those that are outside of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When you're in Christ. When you're on the outside kind of looking and says, you know, I have a case of Jesus-like. I really like Jesus. I like him. Either Jesus-like or Jesus-light, whichever. Our true devotion to Christ cannot be uprooted by the fear of being discovered as one of his disciples. Here's the last little portion we're going to. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Nothing should separate us from his unending love. I love this scripture. I love it. I love it. I love it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Next verse. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who will allow us to separate us? Who will we allow to separate us from the love of Jesus? He names some things here, and I'll run through them quickly. Tribulation, which means suffering as a result of oppression or persecution, enduring physical and mental pain because of your allegiance to the Lord, or lack of resources. But what about this? We are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us, because our commitment to follow Jesus cannot be shaken by anything that would put our lives at risk. I'm not by any means some superhero, but I have had my life at risk just doing mission work. I have an AK-47 poked to my chest that says, give me all your money or we're going to take you out. But you know what? As that was happening, God says, it ain't your time yet. I'm thinking, with real bullets. You know, one of them little things has got the things hanging over the side that, you know, if they click it, it keeps picking up more. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you know why I was there? I was there because I love Jesus. And I was saying, well, if it's my time to go, I said, you know what? Devil, you're a liar. I ain't going yet. God's got something else for me to do. Amen. It doesn't mean you have to just kind of fall, well, I guess it's my time's over. Do you know something? I'm going out of here, but I'm going out with a fight. Nothing gonna separate me from Jesus, but I ain't gonna lay down and let you just roll over me, devil. Because I know in whom I have believed it, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day when you're acting crazy and God says, rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. So it means this. His love for us gives us the strength to endure anything that the enemy will put in our way. The Holy Spirit will give us the power to navigate any obstacles that would try to separate us from his endless love. And this last thing that I'll say, and then we'll set up for something else. We willingly choose to serve him and one another by modeling his example of servanthood. You know, the first rank that we've got to get in our lives is servanthood. Number one. What does that mean? It means that we love because he first loved us. We follow his example in all that he's shown us. And we'll serve him as well as one another. I'm going to kind of wrap up our service today to do what I'm telling you to do. I want the ushers to come. They're going to help me kind of set up for what we're going to do. Now, we're talking about foot washing. It's silly for me to ask you to do something and say, well, what are pastor going to do? Pastor going to do it right here. Today. Jacob Mandel, come help me. We're going to set up here. I want to show you what this is all about. This is not a show thing. It's an idea to let you know that Jesus wants us to be examples. And see, the devil has got you paralyzed with fear. What's going to happen? This type of thing. I'm going to show you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to bring some chairs out here for a moment, and you can take your shoes off. I'm going to take mine off in a minute. I'll put on some slip-ons so I don't have to do the untie thing. You know, that works. When you get a little bit older, honey, it's harder to do it. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are them bad boys. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Here's what I believe that Jesus did. I can't totally mimic that because I wasn't there. But the custom in that particular culture was when a person came to someone's house, they'd have a basin of water and this type of thing. And I don't know how the servants did it, but it was the servants that did this. And they'd have their guests sit down and they'd wash their feet. Now, I want to tell you, when we do this on Friday night, ladies, do not be afraid. We're not going to have men washing your feet. Women are going to wash women. Men are going to wash men. So take that off the table. Says, oh, my excuse went out the window. Uh-huh. Yeah. So toss that one. But I believe what Jesus is trying to teach us is that we're not as good as we think we are. You want to change my lighting a little bit? Take this other stuff down. Just put everything focused down on here on the stage. And I want you to watch what Jesus is going to do with you. Because there's something that I believe that Jesus did. And with Jacob's permission, I'm going to kind of minister to him in just a moment. So, Brother Jacob. Costco. Just thought I'd let you know. And we got plenty of them. Brand new ones from Costco. Y'all are worried about it? No, honey, brand new. Out the package. Okay. I'm gonna wash your feet first. I'll let you wash mine in just a moment. So just extend your foot over, just over there, and I'm just gonna take this basin. Just all I'm gonna do is just gonna pour this water over your feet. Now, I had them bring some warm water. I don't think they had it where they were doing it. Is it okay if I touch your feet?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one, because, you know, I even fell out. And then, we'll just take this one and we'll just dry this one up. And this is what we're going to do. And really, that's all there is to that one. May I do the other one, please? And then we did this. If you just sit there for a moment, I want to say some things. And I want to bless you. Because I believe what Jesus did is after he washed their feet, he pronounced a blessing over their life. So Jacob, Lord, I bless my brother today. A young man who's gone through many things in his life, who has a son named Mason, Lord God, that is the joy of his life. I pray that his character and his desire to serve you would reflect over into his son's life, and that you would bless him in ways that he could not even imagine. And Lord, I pray for him as a single dad, Lord God, that you would protect his mind and his heart. Lord, from any relationship that would be contrary to your will for his life, I pray for wholeness. I pray for purity. I pray for righteousness to prevail in his life. That your grace, that your mercy would be upon him all the days of his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can wash mine. Them bad boys. Yeah, yeah. Barely fits in the tub, honey. Them 13s, honey. All right.
Did you break that tub?
it is what it is. You want to say anything? You can. You can grab a mic here. I think we want to grab that brown one. I think that brown one will work. Just turn it on.
Pastor, I'd just like to thank you for your word and your leadership. And you've changed my life and this church. And just being a part of this church has just really been a blessing to me. And just glad to be a part of this. So thank you so much for blessing my life. I really appreciate it. And God bless you.
I love you, man. Hallelujah. Would you all stand with us? Worship team, you can come back up here. I ain't worried about my shoes. I'll get them later. I want to take you to a place as we're dismissing today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus wants to wash you and make you new. And this was not a ploy to try to intimidate you to coming on Friday night, but I hope you do come because there's more. I'm sure there are the elders and other people that will be exchanging, washing their feet. There's a blessing in store for you. Take some of those flyers, invite your friends and such, but I'm going to pray right now because the Holy Spirit is dealing with some people right now. Jesus, I would ask you to break off guilt, shame, and disobedience off of people who have not done what you want them to do. I feel just in my heart right now, this God's compassion running this direction, saying, some of you fear coming to me because you haven't lived up to the standard of what you know you're able to, and then others have reminded you of that. And the devil's just beat you up pretty bad. I would invite you to come to the table, which is this altar today of forgiveness, and to lay your life down before him. Some of you have never given your life to Jesus. Others of you are saying, you know, it's time to come back to the Lord because I really can't celebrate Resurrection Sunday until I'm in full alignment with Jesus. There's at least two young people here today that's kind of the cry of your heart is, I want to be right with God. I want Jesus to take control of my life. So I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask for people without any coaxing just to come to this altar today and let Jesus be Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off every bit of doubt, every bit of stronghold that's held people in their past, that's held them in such a way where they feel like they'll never be able to break free. Lord God, I come right now in Jesus' name. That your tenderness would just touch them right now. We're going to sing a song, Lord, that really says, draw me close to you. And Lord, we want to be so close to you that there'll be no separation. There'll be no line of demarcation between us and you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.